Okay, let's get started.
Oh, wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 54 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from AudioTU.com, and with me on the line from Melbourne, once again via Skype, Shelton Muller. How are you?
Hey, Bruce. I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Good, matey. You over the jet lag now?
Oh, yeah, well and truly. It's just been so, well and truly. It's just been so busy since I got back. You know, there's a magazine to finish and then people who are waiting for me to get back to do shoots for them and la, la, la. So, you know, yeah, no time to feel the jet lag, you know.
Oh, okay.
I got home from work yesterday and crash, I was horizontal on the couch, horizontal, you know, done. Maybe I'm getting old, I don't know. Who knows? But now we're good. Now there's, of course, the issue of just, you know, I mean, Nathan and I sorting through the thousands of images we took together. And I've got a couple of weddings to get out, and one particularly from, you know, an anxious couple in Edmonton. Hello, Leanne and Tyler.
Right.
So, it's just lots to sort of sort through now. But I've actually got in front of me on my screen Nathan's raw files that he shot in Canada. So
yep.
I'm going to help him work through some of those and, you know, prepare them, you know, for the way he wants them seen. So,
sure.
You know, not that we do a lot to them, mind you. You don't want to sort of tragically alter a landscape,
no.
But just to sort of, you know, maybe sharpen and get your black and white point in the histogram and that kind of thing. But
yep.
I'll teach him how to do that. And I think
do you just use levels for that?
Pretty well, yeah, just yep. levels, get your black and white point and maybe just punch it a little with a slight S curve in the curves and
yep.
that's, you know, because I'm so used to shooting transparency
yeah.
that, you know, the D100 particularly had such a low contrast image that
right.
I was sort of used to punching it a little in curves. So
does the D200 produce better contrast?
The D200 is, yes, it's better color and a better contrast. You can actually set it according to color preferences, which the D100 sort of didn't have. And it's just a little punchier.
So did they change the sensor technology in some way to get it to capture more contrast? Or
yes.
Right.
Yes, they did. And to give you, you know, the settings, you can have a portrait setting for better flesh tones. You can have vivid color, more vivid color. You know, you can set the color settings in the D200 for different kinds of shooting, which is fabulous. I usually work between vivid color and portrait, but then you can just have natural, which is more back to the D100 sort of very, you know, subtle settings,
right.
which is fine. But because I shoot RAW and JPEG simultaneously, I can, you know, change all that in the RAW without altering the image if I want to. So that's
yep.
that really, really works well. But the D200 definitely has a more colorful sensor than the D100 did. And
wow.
I'm very, very working with Nathan side by side, I could see the differences with what I used to shoot with, which is, you know, what I've handed over to my boy, and what I was shooting with now. And we'd look at the screens, we'd be on the same white balance setting and, you know, same exposure more or less, and cameras side by side sometimes, but his image would look different to mine.
And
here's the difference with cameras now. I mean, once upon a time a camera was a light tight box and whatever color you wanted was dependent on what kind of film you put in
yep.
it. You know, but now a camera is more than a light tight box. It's actually an image producing machine.
Yeah.
That, you know, a Canon will produce a different image to a Nikon, and a Nikon will produce a different image to, you know, a Konica Minolta or a Sony or a Pentax.
Yeah.
They all have their own ways of seeing the same thing, which is good in one way and not so good in another, you know, really, because you might like the features of a particular camera,
yeah.
but not necessarily the nature of the image it produces. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, when you think about it, it puts a lot of onus on a camera company to come up with you know, such as the D200, for instance, which I'm very happy with, you know, the ability to alter the image in the menu just to, depending on how you want it seen. But even then, you know, there'll be different CMOS and CCD sensors have different ways of, you know, producing an image. There's different
yeah.
noise in different cameras.
I guess I'd never really considered that because as you just said, you know, you always think of an analog camera as a light tight box, and the only thing that affects it is the type of film you put in it. And I guess I've never really thought that through, that with a digital camera you are really at the mercy of the the data processing that goes on in the camera.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
So I'd never really considered the possibility that, you know, a Nikon and a Canon would produce different images if shot, you know, at the same resolution and
side by side, they will produce a slightly different looking image. Yeah, wow. For sure. You know, if you in the old days, if you wanted, you know, if you wanted mega color, you'd stick in some Velvia or some Agfa Ultra. If you wanted natural, you'd go back down to Kodachrome 64 or something like that. You know, print film. Or if you wanted black and white, you had so many options in black and white. So these days, it's a completely different way of seeing and shooting. And I learned that. I mean, I knew that already, but I could really see the difference between working with the D100 and the D200. The vast difference between the two cameras. And I think probably Nikon took a lot on board when people were saying about the D100, which functionally was a fabulous camera, but I needed to have Photoshop settings to just give each image that bit of punch that that I wanted it to have, that I was used to seeing, that the D100 just wouldn't produce on its own.
Just as a demonstration for our listeners, would you be able to dig out a shot that you both took, say on the D100 and the D200, and just send me like a JPEG of both that has not been post-processed?
Certainly.
Just so everyone can see the difference. And I'm interested in seeing it as myself. Mm-hmm.
Yep, certainly I can do that.
That'd be great.
I'll post that up for you so you can see the difference. I'm not complaining about either, but it's just something to consider if, you know, you're buying a camera or if you already have one. Understand that, you know, it will see things differently and you may need to have processes in place to, you know, make that image appear the way you are used to seeing, perhaps.
The way your mind's eye sees it.
Mind's eye see it, or perhaps what you're used to with film. My problem is I've got 25 years under my belt of shooting with tranny. So I'm, you know, if I'm out shooting a landscape, I'd get it back and bang, there it was on the light box. And of course, that's a different way of seeing an image. Again, putting on a light box, you know, you've got light shining through it. It's just going to scream at you. It's just going to say hello. But an image on a screen is a different thing. An image on a print, that same image on a print is a different thing.
Yeah.
So I was used to shooting with tranny for 25 years and, all of a sudden, you know, I'm shooting digitally. It's a complete, you've got to really wrap your head around how the image, you know, will appear. I remember the first time when the D100 arrived, bang, there it was. I went outside and did some shots, put them into the computer, and I thought, oh, is that it? And, you know, I was talking to Nikon, and they said, look, they had deliberately set the settings, you know, low contrast, so that in the RAW file or even in the JPEG, you know, you wouldn't have burnt out highlights or darkened shadows and that kind of thing. They wanted to have as much detail in the shadow and highlight as possible, which is a good notion, but it meant that if you wanted punch in your image, you needed to... You know, you needed to put an action in Photoshop, which I had to do.
Yeah.
That was fine. I just needed to learn that. That's all. That was the only thing. I just needed to learn that. And once it was learned and understood, because it was my first digital SLR, this is a few years ago, then that was fine. You know, the D200 has been a whole new learning curve again for me. I actually, you know, went shooting with it and applied what I used to do with the D100 to the D200, and it went the other way. Oh, whoa, these colors are just mega, you know. So I had to, you know, forget. I didn't need to do curves. I didn't need to saturate the image. So it was a completely different, you know, way of seeing. So understand that, in your digital camera. It is an image-producing machine now. It's not just a light-tight box.
Mm. Yeah, right. Okay, now, speaking of light, you wanted to talk this week about how light is boss.
It is the boss, yeah. I mean, you thought your wife was the boss. She's not... No, your light is the boss. Your wife is only the boss when, you know, she's with you taking pictures and saying that you can or can't, you know. Let's go back to the car. But light is the boss. And the reason I say this is because I was emailed with a question, a lady wanting to travel overseas. She said, you know, should I buy one of those warming filters when I go to England and it's overcast? And I said, sure, you can. I mean, there's two ways of warming an image. You can use a warming filter or you can alter your color temperature. You know, ramp it up and it warms up the image. That's easily done. But I said to her, why would you want to do that? For instance, it's a cloudy day, which it might be in the UK from time to time, I hear.
And only about 340 days a year.
and you want the image to be warm. Well, you've got a problem there because you've got a color temperature that is incongruent with the lighting conditions.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works, sometimes, but not all the time. You can usually see that there's something that's just not quite right about this image that's been produced. A cloudy, overcast day with no shadow and no contrast, and yet there's this warmth prevailing. The only time that warmth will really prevail in an image like that is on a relatively cloudless day, when the red aspect of this, when the red part of the spectrum is allowed to travel through the atmosphere, which it's not through clouds. So you very rarely get warm light on a completely overcast day. Your image, therefore, will, and this is, of course, a completely creative decision, but your image will not be congruent in terms of color and, you know, what the person sees in the image. It might be a nice idea, but it very rarely happens in real life. Photography is not necessarily about real life. The only kind of real life, you know, photography could, you know, we could say is even photojournalism or maybe real, you know, natural landscape or nature photography. But even your purists like Galen Rowell, the late great Galen Rowell, and others would use filters, polarizers. Galen Rowell was a big polarizer user, and graduated filters to either punch the cloud a little bit or punch the blue in the sky a little bit, or to balance the exposure, like we've often spoken about using graduated filters. But he would never use a warming filter or you know, anything that would alter how the image looked, because his idea was to show the landscape as it was, which he broke on a few occasions. But nonetheless, that was his notion. And so light is the boss. In other words, we go out with a particular idea of a picture in mind, you know, such as maybe I'd love to shoot a lovely warm landscape, but the light is not warm, and if you warm it up by changing your color temperature or using a filter, a warming filter, then, well, it might not look right. And you are going to have to ask yourself whether that's what you want to do.
But sometimes it's just an artistic perception, though, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. And that therein, of course, is your decision.
Because the shot that you sent me a couple of weeks ago of the wheat silos, you know, that looked fantastic with a warming filter on, but it's obviously not an accurate representation of what you actually saw with your human fleshy eyes.
My fleshy eyes. I didn't know I had fleshy eyes. I'm going to have to get an eye job now. Get a lift. Oh, okay. Either that or Photoshop my picture more. One of the two.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah. I think the term is the naked eye, but then, of course,
that'll
you
do.
Know, yeah, we don't want to have a problem with that either. I mean, where are you going to go with that? But, yeah, no, I know what you mean, Bruce. Yes, that's true, those wheat silos, but that was a sunny afternoon, and it was late afternoon, so the light was, you know, the light was that was hitting it was warm. It was, you know, the late part of the day, and there was no problem with that. Sure, I warmed it up because that's what I wanted it to say.
Yeah.
But if you had a really cloudy, overcast day, and you had, you know, an 85 warming filter on it or something, then it could look a little weird. I used to do it, and now I look back on those trannies and I think, oh, that doesn't look right. you know, you want, this is what I realized, I wanted a particular kind of look, and so I would, you know, put the warming filter on, but it just didn't work. And so I had to realize, I came to the conclusion that light is the boss. It dictates how the image should look to a certain degree. You have control over composition. You have control over what to leave in and what to leave out, vertical and horizontal, and where you stand and what you do and what time of day. But if your light is not congruent with your mental
pre-visualized idea,
yeah, then you've got to change what your notions and intents are. Because it just might not work. I was reminded of this when Nathan and I were in Canada. We had, on our last day in Jasper National Park, we had a cloudy day. We woke up and there was nothing. The clouds were low over the mountains. You couldn't see the peaks. It was a very overcast day. And we realized that we really hadn't taken the time to just go for some hikes, you know, to walk through the forest. We'd driven up to waterfalls and mountains and lakes, but we hadn't actually just spent some hours in the forest. So he and I just loaded up with our compacts, we went for a walk, and we decided that we were going to just photograph the foliage, because the nature of the day meant that we really couldn't do much else. If we came across a little lake or a little waterfall or something like that, that was fine. But there was really the nature of the light, we could photograph wildlife, and we did. We saw some elk and we photographed them, but we just decided to make it a day where we'd photograph the small stuff, and we did: bark on trees, leaves hanging dead off twigs, and mossy foregrounds, little waterfalls and streams that we encountered, that kind of thing. And we had a ball, but we realized that the light was the boss. You know, I didn't actually put it in those terms to Nathan, but I said, look, mate, there's no point going out and photographing great lakey mountainous landscapes, because yep. You know, it's not, we've already done that, and two, it's not necessarily going to work.
Yeah.
So that's what we decided to do. The light was the boss. And I see it all the time occur with, you know, people in portraits as well. You know, they go out and, you know, the light is wrong for what you're doing. And so remember that the light will dictate often the mood. In Canada, we had overcast days, and we'd go to waterfalls, which it's, photographing a waterfall on an overcast day is perfect, because you don't have any hard shadows, you don't have any contrast issues, plus your light is a little lower, so if you want to do those, yep. You know, time-exposed milky waterfalls, and they always look lovely, especially if you've got something still, you know, like rocks and trees that don't move, to contrast with the movement of the water and those sorts of things, that's great. I could have done some portraits in that light, you know, and not had an issue. Maybe, you know, the flesh tone might have been a little cold because of the cold light of the cloud, but there's all these considerations. But don't try and shoot an image with one emotional notion, such as warmth or cold, in a light that is, you know, the complete opposite of the emotional notion that we are trying to convey in the image. You won't get a warm, sunny day on a cloudy, overcast day, no matter what you try. So change the way you see what's in front of you and capture that. Change your mindset so that your image agrees with the light that you have. And I think you'll find, by and large, more often than not, your images will actually be better. And you'll have learned something. You'll have learned to shoot with a different mindset. You'll have learned to see something differently rather than trying to create the same old thing all the time. So light is the boss. Let it guide how your image appears. Work with it. It's your friend. Don't work against it. Work with it.
Excellent. Okay, and before we go, I have some slightly good news and slightly bad news.
Can we have the good news first?
The good news is I've heard from my contact at Joby.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news for me is that he is sending the GorillaPods to me, and I've then got to send them out,
mm-hmm.
Which is a bit disappointing, because I thought we'd agreed that he was going to organise for the regional centres to send them out to the winners within that section of the globe, like, because right. There are people from England, there are people from Australia, there are people from the US. So I thought they were going to be distributed locally, but it turns out he's going to send them all to me, and I've then got to send them out. So that means I'm going to incur some cost in sending these things on to the winners. So I'll cover that when I actually receive the product. So I'm really sorry to everybody who was a winner that this has taken longer than, you know, certainly than I had planned. I thought they would have been out and, you know, in your hands within a month, but obviously this is not going to be the case. So, I'm still on the case, people, and hopefully more good news will be forthcoming.
All good things come to those who wait, and they're little, and those GorillaPods are a good thing. They really are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But don't worry about that.
Okay, mate. Well, thank you for that.
If we could just close by saying thank you to everyone who sent emails, both while I was in Canada and since I've returned.
Yep.
Since I've returned, I've had some lovely comments about Nathan's images, and really do appreciate that. For those who may have gone to my website, photographybyshelton.com, looking for my Canada images, I apologize that they have not been up all week. Stupid me doesn't know how to write an XML file properly. So the damn thing just wouldn't work. So I had to go back to Adam, my website designer, and say, hey! hell? To which, and he responded, of course, from being on holidays in Tasmania. Now, that's a nice part of the world, anyone wanting to photograph it. He's on holidays in Tasmania, and he says, mate, fixed. So he sorted it out for me. He's a good bloke. So they are up on my website now. If you go to photographybyshelton.com and go to my gallery and click on Canada, there are 92 or 93 images. If you can sit there for ages wasting your time looking at my pictures, you can have a look. A couple of other things. I have, and I'll send a link to the audiotu.com website for a depth of field tutorial that I have on YouTube that I would like to, for one, alert you to, and second, like your comments about. So I'll send the link for that tutorial to Bruce, who will put it on the audiotu.com website.
Excellent.
And yeah, have a look and let me know what you think, because if you want some more, I'm thinking of doing a few more along those lines. They're not that difficult to do. They take a little bit of time, but not that difficult to do. And last but not least, my wife, a photographer in her own right, who's been published several times, is now her New Zealand photographs are being published in the Australian version of Vogue Entertaining and Travel. So she's pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
And her couple of her images are on my blog. If you want to go to my blog and see the lady to whom I'm married, a picture of her was standing with some incredibly good-looking guy. I'll have to work out who that is. It's all on my blog. You can go and check that out from the news page on my website. But yeah, I was just excited for her, as she's excited too. That's great. I haven't been published in Vogue, so you know. Just goes to show who you know, and you know she met the editor from Vogue while she was tramping through New Zealand, so it's who you know. It's exactly. All I'm saying, it's who you know. But that just thought I'd let you know. Check it out on my blog, which is off the news page on my website. There's just a couple of things. I'll shut up now and let you all go, and thank you all very much.
Well, we'll just quickly say, if there's anything you want Shelton to talk about, please drop us an email to say so. We're not beyond covering a topic a second, third, fourth, fifth time if need be. If we haven't covered it to your satisfaction yet, just let us know.
After 54 Shutters Inks, you can imagine we're starting to go,
what are we going to talk about?
So please let us know. And like I've said, you know, like Bruce said, if there's something you need to know, it's difficult for us to sometimes know, you know, at what level you're at, or perhaps if we've covered something, but yeah, not to completion, or not to your satisfaction, or not to your understanding, or if there's a, you know, a tangent from that you need to have a little more understanding about, please let us know. Email us here and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. That's why we exist and move and live.
Yeah, even if it's like project specific, you know, you're doing a particular kind of photography shoot and you want to know, you know, how you should use flash in that particular project or something, you know, I'm sure Shelton can, you know, expand further on things we've already covered, but with
You're not alone. If you're doing that kind of project, somebody else will, or the principles from that project will transfer into another kind of photographic arena. So
definitely.
I'm happy to do that. And as I've said, there is no such thing as a stupid question. Usually, you're the only one with the guts to ask it, while dozens of other people are, you know, thinking about it.
Yeah.
If you wish to remain anonymous, just email me the question, ask to be anonymous, and I will completely understand your request and disregard it outrightly.
Fantastic.
All right.
All right, mate. You have a good week.
You too, Bruce. Take care, everyone.
Talk to you soon. See ya.
See ya.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotu.com. Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
AudioToYou.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control D to bookmark.
AudioToYou.com.